And welcome to another edition of the Wake Up Late with Dougie Shaw. I am your host, Dougie Almeida. Welcome to the show. It is Wednesday. God, it's Wednesday, February 23rd, something like that. Don't let the facts get in the way of a good story. Got a great show for you today. I'm going to mix two of my comedy scenes. For those of you who know me, I was living in Florida for many years and recently bought a home in Simpsonville, South Carolina area. And I've been part of this South Carolina comedy scene. So we got two guests. We got going back back to my Florida scene. Corey Cognac is with us today and Shelley Baker from South Carolina area. Welcome the two of you to the show.
What's up, Dougie?
Hi.
And you guys got to meet briefly.
Yep. Zoom. Hello, yeah. Shelley.
Hello.
We were trying to high five.
I'm learning. There we go.
Now, both comedians, Shelley, you and I just met moving here as I've been out in this comedy scene, and you're very gracious and very nice, of course. Everybody here in South Carolina is nice, a little too nice. I mean, I come from Florida where there's so many schmucks and assholes. Everybody, you know, cut you off, you turn your blinker on, people speed up, you know. In South Carolina, you put your blinker on, people are like, go ahead, you know.
Oh, yeah, go ahead. We'll hold up traffic while you keep going.
Right. You know? But it's been great. And, of course, Corey just started comedy by the last year or so that I was in Florida. That's when I saw you on the scene. And the great
about a year and a half.
Yeah? That's how long you've been doing it now?
Yes, sir.
Good for you. And, of course, you got right into it with booking shows and venues.
Yes, sir.
And now, Shelley, I don't know if you book shows, but I have a production company called Tada Productions, and I book shows in Florida for many years, and I still book three venues down there. But Corey, tell me what you think some of the benefits, the pros and cons of booking a show.
Oh, well, I get to put myself in front of the people that I want to align myself with, to be honest. You know, I always try to just put the best, most talented people I can, and then also give opportunities to up-and-comers that might not get as much stage time elsewhere, you know. I keep it super diverse, man, and so I get to meet a lot of people. That's a huge benefit, and just build a, you know, be part of the community, man, and to be giving something to the community is a great feeling, you know.
Yeah. Any cons?
I don't know, man. That's a great question.
Maybe you haven't been doing it long enough. Maybe you haven't been booking the shows long enough. I mean, you haven't had somebody saying, "How come I haven't been booked yet? How come I don't get booked yet?" You know.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. And then there's only one person that I told, like, why I couldn't book them. It's not like my place to give feedback to somebody. I feel like it's not my job, but this one guy kept asking me. So finally I told him why. And, I was like, dude, I just, you know, just can't have you at my venue talking about pedophilia. We're coming in hot, Dougie. We're talking about pedophilia. Okay.
Yeah.
But
like that.
That's right. So, I mean, and now that person like doesn't talk to me. So it's, I'm like, all right, I'm never doing that again. It's not my job to give feedback, and it is what it is, man. I just, I don't know. I like people that have good vibes, and if they are like super into what they're doing and want to be part of something, then I have plenty of opportunities for people.
Cool. Cool. Go ahead, Shelley.
I've booked a show at a theater once, and gosh, the money is just ridiculous that you can make in a theater, and had a sold out show. That's the benefit, is the money you can make versus the money you can make in a comedy club. The cons of it is you do give newcomers opportunities, but you realize that 5-minute open mic ruined them because they, you know, they try to get up on stage and they try to do that. They try to do 10, 15 minutes and they're just bombing, trying to rush through it. You know what I'm saying? Those are sometimes the cons because people can't differentiate being on a regular comedy show versus being on an open mic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry. Corey. Well, you can go with, that's why you go, you give people certain times that they're, experience level or skill level, and I'm able to do that with showcases. It's like, all right, you know, you get 7 minutes, everybody else gets 10 or whatever, you know.
But I learned from that. I learned, you know, just like being a comedian, and just like that person you were talking about should have learned from criticism, not gotten upset or pissed off about it, but it should have taken your criticism and grew from that. And that has made me grow to book.
No, my I saw him the other day
on what to do and what not to do when I book a show.
Right. I saw him the other day, like last week, they did the same joke. I was like, all right, man. But
yeah,
but
it's a tough thing because, you know, because you're right. To me, the best part about booking shows is the relationships. You know, from booking shows so long, it got me to know a lot of great headliners from around the country. Which got me work, you know, got me a lot of notoriety. You know, the first time I worked in LA, I went to a club and like half the people there knew me already. You know, it's like, so you're not like a just a whole new person. So you do a lot of that, but you also have to deal with that. You have to deal with the fact that, you know, especially for Tavolino's, my room in Tavolino's is a tougher room. You know, it's not like a comedy club. It's a bit of a tougher room. So, you know, just because you've done 25, yeah, you know. So just because somebody's can do 20, 25 minutes, they think, okay, I could feature. I'm like, no, you to me, a solid feature is somebody who has 30, 40 minutes, you know, and that can get through a lot of nonsense. And it's tough, but it's good that you do that, you know, Corey, because sometimes you go to shows and there's definitely too much time given to certain people. And like Shelly's saying, you could tell, you're like, wow, this person would have been good if they had like 3 minutes less this time, you know?
And I don't mean I'm not being ugly or anything like that. I'm just saying that you really want to help up and coming comedians, just like a lot of people helped me when I started. But it was my fault that I didn't say, look, this isn't an open mic. This is going to be an actual showcase. Time to show yourself. But like you said, it is about building relationships, and it is about, you know, getting other people's names out there and helping each other out, because you know what? We got to help each other, because a lot of times these bookers aren't helping us. We got to help each other.
Right. And it's funny. Well, you mentioned the money aspect. All my shows started during the pandemic, and most of them were outdoors. I think they all were at that time. And, they've all been free. I mean, I have produced shows at the Improv and stuff for ticketed sales or whatever, but my shows are still outdoors and are still free to this day. And are still, you know, I'm still like bringing brand new people in every time, you know. It's kind of a cool thing. So it's never really been about the money. I just was starting comedy and I wanted to perform more. And so that's what it was.
You understand, they're like, there's a lot of times clubs don't like that, you know, when comedians put together their own rooms. And I remember as a comic, when I started doing it, I didn't understand. I'm like, we just need, you know, can't wait around for a month for your open mic, you know, or, you know, wait around for you to call us to give us that host spot. You know, you need to get up on stage. You know, we got to build the scene. And so that's what, as a comic, you think. But as a club owner, you have to also respect the fact that, first of all, they got a lot more skin in the game. You know, they're paying the least, they're paying their employees. And it was true, because their biggest concern was that, you know, somebody would go see a show put on by a comic, and it perhaps wasn't like some of those challenges, like putting somebody on. And, you know, so somebody goes to see a show and they watch four comics all doing ass eating jokes. And then you're like, you know, somebody went to a comedy show and says, I'm never going to a comedy show again. I'm going to go bowling, you know, and that could ruin the industry in a sense. So that, you know, you respect that aspect of it, you know, you learn that. So I was like, me, when I started doing shows, I was always about the, and I always did, you know, I didn't want to do open mics and stuff. I always wanted to do a professional show. I thought, that's what I'm going to do. I'm a professional. I'm going to do a professional show. So it's definitely got it. And I guess I'll be doing one of your first shows when I come down in March. I think we're going to be.
Are you going to come this time?
I know. It was so, listen, that we had that show in Miami, and notoriously when there's a show in Miami and they say the start time is 9, you know, it's not starting until almost 10:30, 11 o'clock.
10. Yeah.
We didn't get started that night, man. I just remember it was like, well, I guess I'm not going to make it down to West Palm.
Giving you a shot.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. You have stuff like that. I won't mention the person's name, but I remember they were always begging me for a spot at Tavolino's, and I said, well, let me give you a guest spot, you know, and do well. And the person comes there and they work on new material. And I go, this is a pro show, man. This is not about new material. And then the person asked the headliner, I was walking over to the headliner. He was talking to the headliner, like, hey, do you use new material when you're on stage? And I told him, I said, dude, that's a professional. You're not a professional. Don't put yourself in that league. So at any rate, well, that's good, man. It's good that we got things going there. And we had shows all canceled again in March. I had one of my Isla Mirada shows canceled is on the 20th now. And it's like, when people close stuff, I think, like, there's still stuff going. You're in Florida. There's rooms going on, right? There's people showing up at shows.
Oh yeah. Cool. I've pretty much, you know, had no empty seats in my last like 10 shows. I know that sounds, you know,
that's amazing.
That sounds, yeah. Well, but it's true. It's been busy as shit down here.
Yeah. It's there's no COVID down in Florida, as they say. I don't know how many comics go up there, come from outside Florida and go, there's no COVID here. Like 18.
I'm coming to Florida in April to Palm Coast, Florida.
Right.
Yeah, I got a show there.
Palm Coast is just south of St. Augustine area.
Right.
So it's up there. It's like 3 hours or so north of where you're at, Palm Beach area. Yeah.
Right.
Who's that show with, Shelly? What venue?
Christy B.
Oh, Christy B. Yeah, cool. Yeah, she got the shows up there.
She got me hooked up with a comedian in Tennessee, and that was an interesting night with Chris Kattan.
Oh yeah. Oh, you're at that show with Chris.
Yeah, right. I was a feature for Chris Kattan. Yeah.
That's interesting. How did? Oh, okay. I could tell you're not going to want to talk about it. We're not going to.
That sounds awesome.
Under the bus.
Yeah. We're not going to talk about it.
Didn't go well.
I've heard, like, I worked with somebody once. I've said this before, so I'll tell the story. Tim Meadows, right? You know, from Saturday Night Live, at a comedy club once where I was hosting, and Frank Del Pizzo, longtime comic, was featuring. And the club owner says, okay, Doug, you're going to do 30 minutes. I'm like, wow, okay. That's a host. And, Frank, you're going to do 40 minutes, and the headliner is going to do 25. We were like, what the fuck? And then, but he's getting all the money. And after the show, people came up to us and were like, what the fuck was that? You know, like, it was horrible. And, you know, not everybody who is a comedic actor can pull off state, you know, doing stand ups, let's say, sometimes, you know. But we've seen that, right? You've seen people that have, let's say, following, whether it's TikTok, social media following and stuff, that are horrible on stage. And then there's those, like, I work with John Crist. And before I hosted for him at the Greenville Comedy Zone, somebody says, oh, that guy's an internet guy. And after the first show, I said, this guy's funny as shit, man. This guy's an internet guy, but he's also funny as shit. So he packs a room and he's funny. So don't label everybody the same way.
That's the one that does the fake news.
I think so. Yeah, he's got a lot of videos like that. Like, he'll I've seen him do one. The only one I think video saw him was he goes out and does like a traffic report.
Yeah,
he's out there. He's like, look, there's cars. You know, I mean,
well, you think it's real. People think it's real. And yeah.
Now
on social media. And
you're pretty active. You're pretty active, Shelly, on social media. You're a big TikToker.
Yeah, I've got almost 1 million followers, but.
What?
I mean, yeah, but a lot of people, they see me on TikTok, then they see my stand-up comedy, and they're like, yeah, your stand-up comedy is like nothing like your TikTok. And I'm like, it's not supposed to be. I'm a stand-up comedian. I do TikTok for fun.
It's interesting. That's cool. Because It's interesting because I think I got like 222 followers on TikTok, and
I got about 400. Yeah,
nice. It's amazing. A good buddy of mine just recently he had like a video that had like 1700 views or something like that, and all of a sudden it went to like a million, and now he went from like 15,000 followers to 150,000 followers. Brandon Rainwater, very funny comic here from our area, who opens for Ginger Billy, right? Recently, and he had a little seminar on it, you know, on social media. So the first thing I did was I started pushing people from my Facebook page. Look, no more comedy on my Facebook page. It's all going to be on my fan page. So if you want to watch that shit, go there. So now every once in a while, I want to put something on my personal page where I have 5,000 friends. I can't put it. I'm like, no, I got to stick to my guns. I got to put shit on my fan page. I got to push it. But yeah, Brandon was giving me these ideas. So I started doing that. And I started getting a little more traction with the reels on Instagram. So I did these little quick little videos, you know. What would you say, Shelly, is the difference, let's say, between your stand-up and what you do on TikTok?
So my stand-up comedy is based off relatable life, such as, you know, being a woman and going and getting your poontang waxed, you know, and being married and having, you know, kids and all that. And my TikTok is based off imaginary neighbors that I scream at on my front porch, Donna and all them, and tell them, you know, they look like a Louis Vuitton, but they're a freaking guest bag, you know, and just crazy stuff like that. So when you see my TikToks, don't expect to come to my show and see me screaming out Donna on the stage, because I try to keep it separate, because I don't want to be categorized as a TikToker that somebody saw had 5 million followers that have never done stand-up comedy a day in their life, pick them up and put them on a stage, and people go to see them and they're not a comedian, which makes comedians like us look bad.
Yeah.
I think you'd have more success if you just picked a character, but it's not this, it might not be the success you're looking for. You know,
if I picked a character.
Yeah. If you were just the TikTok person and did the lines and stuff, and like sold shows in that way and did that material, feel like the world we live in today, you would like sell out and you would become more popular. And then, you know what I mean? You could, once you got that popularity, then you could start doing your own thing. I don't know. It's weird, because I just feel like I see all these people packing rooms and they're not, like you said, they're not stand-up comedians, but then they're making money and being successful in the comedy world at comedy clubs. So it's something I always think about.
Like Jason Banks, huge successful comedian, Jason Banks, he's booking everywhere. You know, Ginger Billy, huge, started on social media, huge success. And, you know, he takes his character to the stage, but it would be difficult for me to do that because mine are skits, not stand-up comedy. So, I play myself on stage. I'm always who I am, a Southern woman on stage. So I'm able to do that on stage, but I can't bring my characters on stage. It would never work.
Yeah. I mean, on the social media, it's like, it's funny. I started getting some of my videos started getting bigger because of my hair. Like I would just get up and, you know, my hair is all over the freaking place and people will just, because of the hair, you know what I mean? I'm like, all right. So I'm not going to go on stage and come out with my bedhead, you know, when I'm on stage. I'm just I gotta be a little different. But it is interesting. It is interesting because you're right. I've seen those people that come out and do their bit, you know, their social media bit. I've seen them come and do it on stage and it's like, I didn't get it, but it seemed like their fans, you know, it's like they loved it because that's what they came to see. Shelly, right. do you see a lot of people coming to your shows from your TikTok?
I do, but, you know, I don't advertise my show. So, yes, I do, but I don't advertise my shows when I promote as Shelly Belly Comedy. I promote my shows as Michelle Ryder. Because that's who I am on stage. On my social media, I'm Shelly Belly Comedy. But they know, I've had so many people when they leave a show say, man, your stand-up comedy is nothing like your TikToks. And I can't look at your TikToks the same again because your freaking stand-up comedy is so much better.
Yeah. It's like you've kind of unveiled, you know, you're like the Wizard of Oz. You took that, you changed it up and you put a different persona to it. It's interesting, right? That there's these different ways that we can be. So, well, that's awesome. And I can only wait. You know, I'm hoping by the time I get done with this podcast, I'm going to open up my TikTok and go, holy shit, I got a million followers. But that's going to take some time. All right, let's get into some of our topics. I don't know if you're aware of this, but you know, we're talking about COVID and stuff, but several people recently caught COVID. Justin Bieber, the Surgeon General of the United States, and the Queen of England caught COVID. Oh. I can just imagine her going, who the fuck gave me this COVID? You know, it was probably the fat guy Dougie who was sweating at the party. you know, anything to do with English accent.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, I actually tried that at an open mic last night. I was like, who the fuck was probably that Merkel? It was Meghan Merkel.
Right.
Yeah. That darky. You know, I had that experience. I had that experience in my own family because I caught it when I was in Florida in December. And because I'm not vaccinated and because I'm on the road, and I was the one who supposedly brought it to the family. That's why I was telling you about guilt. You know, my whole family was like, it was you. I'm like, how do you know it was me? How do we know it wasn't two people? You know what I mean? It's amazing to me that the minute somebody catches COVID, they feel like they've done something wrong. And it's not, I mean, you could be sitting in a bubble all day and night and you walk out 1 minute and you can catch it. So, you know, it's just amazing. You know, have you guys ever experienced anything through like that?
Yeah, I got it. I had symptoms, and my girl and my daughter, we all had symptoms like I think it was like 2 days before Christmas, and then we had it. So what was the question?
let me ask you now, did you go to the party? Were you at the improv party?
No. Okay, that's why I stopped myself, because I didn't know if you wanted to get into that or not, so my bad. I did have symptoms, and that's why I didn't go to the party. So
yeah, otherwise people would be blaming you.
I know. So I'm so thankful. I was very upset that I wasn't going. I had already produced shows at the Improv. I wanted to be with everyone there, and I was upset. And I just, you know, but we were sick, man. So I was like, yeah, I can't pull this off. So
the first person who said it was Renee, the owner of the Improv. She said that she was sick, and everybody went, oh, and then I won't mention the person, but they said, oh, you know, she probably gave us COVID. I'm like, just because she's the first person who said that she got it does not mean it. This isn't like farting. Whoever smelt it, dealt it. You know what I'm saying? This is, it's like people just trying to put together a piece of fucking puzzle that, you know, they have no idea. And I'm like, how do you know? I mean, I caught it after. I don't know if I caught it then or when, you know, I don't have any fucking idea. And I definitely don't have an idea who I caught it from. I mean, again, it's not like herpes, you know, or AIDS, you know, or some shit like that, where you know there's an act that you have to do. You know, there has to be some reason to think that a person gave it to you. And but it's just amazing. And the Surgeon General, that's what he said. He realized, he goes, wow. He goes, as careful as we are, I'm the Surgeon General, I still caught it. And, you know, there's too many people out there, you know, treating people who catch it as irresponsible, like they did something wrong. Or, you know, or they're just like, they're just like reckless, you know, and that kind of shit. So I thought it was interesting that Justin Bieber, Surgeon General, and the Queen all caught it together. They were probably all sharing a bottle of soda.
That's right.
Well, I mean, but it's okay to go to the Super Bowl. Right. It's okay to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, speaking of Super Bowl, now you're married, Corey's married, and of course, Shelly, you're married, met your husband. Oh, you're not married?
No.
Corey? Oh, you got a girl and you got family.
Yeah.
But you're not married.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's ask why this is.
Oh, it's complicated.
Is it complicated?
Complicated. Oh, well.
Oh, no, hold on. Nothing about my relationship is, but I'm saying that my girlfriend, that's not her kid. That's all I mean. My bad.
Okay. Gotcha. This is your child.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get to, okay. And well, that's good of her, right? Because when I met my wife, she had a daughter. And, you know, it's interesting when you meet somebody that has kids. So you get, you know, you're bringing on all that. So that's nice right. of her. You know, you must
I have
be
three kids when me and my husband met, and he had one, but we never had kids together.
Really?
We had a Brady Bunch. Yeah.
That's cool.
Well, that's good. That's good. Well, here's the thing. Here's our next topic. Patrick Mahomes, you know, the quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs, gets into a tiff with his fiancée at a college basketball game, and everybody gets into the fight. You know, you never want to get into a fight with your significant other in a social setting, you know, because people, especially somebody like that that's watching, and I don't know if my producer's there, but roll this video and just watch. Like, it's just interesting. Here's a guy, I know everybody, I'm sure he knows people are watching him. And this goes on. So let's see if we can see this video of this. Yeah, he's got his arm around her. They're talking something. Patrick's is like, enough of that shit. A little pissed. Look, stop talking. Look, watch her face. Watch the eyes. Oh, the rolling of the eyes. He's being an asshole. I can't believe him. He thinks he's a quarterback or something. Fucker. Yeah.
No, I'm going to tell you what she said.
Yeah. All right. We're good on that.
Ready? She said that Patrick said that I can't make resting bitch face anymore. So that's what he said to her. That's
what he said?
Well, that's what she said to her friend. She was like, Patrick says I can't make resting bitch face anymore. And then she's like, it makes that face and rolls her eyes. So he's saying she's sitting there with a stank face on and like, chill out. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
First of all, my wife will do that on occasion. I'll say something and she'll roll her eyes. And nothing irks me more on earth. And when my wife rolls her eyes at something I say.
Are you not used to it by now? I'm totally used to it.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I don't know. I don't know if I just put a big stink up on it. Cause I'll be like, what the fuck? I guess I'll never take you seriously ever again. I'm never going to take you seriously again. If you ever fucking say something to me.
Yeah. No, I go for the eye roll.
Did you read that? Did you read her lips, or is that something we know that she said that?
That's what, when I saw the clip, that's what the little caption said.
Oh.
That Patrick Mahomes' girlfriend says that, you know, she can't make resting bitch face anymore. So, I don't know.
But who is she to tell her friend? Like, you know, when somebody tells you, like, if I'm with my wife and I start, and my wife just said that, I mean, that's bullshit. You know what I mean? Yeah, you're like throwing your significant under the bus. You know what I'm saying?
That's immaturity. It's immaturity is what that is. Because when I get mad at my husband or he says something that I don't like, I do the deep, shallow breath.
Yeah.
My eyes have rolled so much from having four children. I can't roll the sumbitches no more. Now it's just deep breathing to keep my sanity. Within my damn body now.
Yeah.
Right.
And my husband goes, when I take the deep breath, he'll say, oh, hell, she's mad. I'm like, don't you start no shit. Won't be no shit.
I think I do that. I think I know what you're talking about. Like, if I get pissed, I'll be like, you know, I have.
Yeah, like, I'm tired of your shit kind of deep breath.
Yeah, I gotcha.
I'm done. I'm over it.
You got anything like that, Corey?
Yeah, I'll just be like, hey, can you stop using resting bitch face, please?
Yeah, just right to the point. Oh, man. The rolling. You're right, though. This came off very immature, you know, like, oh, he tells me I can't. He's the fucking quarterback. He's the man. He can tell you whatever he wants. That's the way it is. You know what I'm saying?
Well, it's a trophy wife. It's like, you know, like, act right, man. At least be happy when we're out in public.
Yeah, don't embarrass me, bitch. You know,
I'm not saying I do that at all.
But I've always been big about that. Like, you know what I mean? I hate when, like, if you like, you don't want other people to know your shit. Like I was saying earlier, like we've been in the mall or something like that. And my wife would say something in front of the people, like, what the fuck, you know? I said, you want me to start telling everybody here all the shit you did all day? That's why I'm in this fucking mood, you know? Right. It's just weird. And I don't know if it's me. I mean, who am I? I'm no George Clooney, but is she really good looking enough for him? I don't think so.
I wasn't going to say that. Thank you. Yeah. She is not, honey, she's not the prettiest piece of straw in the barn, okay?
No, she looks like she should be dating the punter.
Right. Right. She's cute enough to have that attitude.
Yeah. I don't like how you guys are judging her right now, okay? Beauty's on the inside, and maybe she's a brain surgeon, so... Never judge.
Maybe she's not.
See?
And you wish that she was. That's why she's with a damn NFL player.
Yeah, yeah. Her dad owns like JCPenney. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, meanwhile, she has 10 million followers on TikTok.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I just got a weird vibe from that. I looked at her, I go, she's not that. I mean, it's not like Mahomes is a great
She's
cute, dude either.
Though. She's cute.
She's all right. She's got
a, she doesn't look like a trophy girlfriend. She's cute, nah, though.
She's a solid 6.5, 7 at best. Especially to have that attitude. She should know better. She really should. I mean, Patrick Mahomes should tell her, hey, you know, listen, I'm going to bench you. That's his fiance. He's not married yet. He didn't marry her yet. That's a good, you know, she's hopefully on that trial basis, you know.
Yeah. He can still snatch that ring off her damn finger in a second.
Absolutely. Speaking of bad relationships.
No foul. Get it?
Speaking of bad. Yeah. I'm surprised he didn't throw a fucking flag up. Speaking of bad relationships, Kanye West is not handling his breakup well. He just can't get away from his Kardashian girlfriend. Have you guys ever had a bad breakup?
Or you go first.
Where do I start?
Yeah.
Where do I start? I mean, my God. Oh, I'm 53 years old. My God, I've had more bad breakups than you could imagine. But I'm not mad at any of them. I'm glad I did. But, you know, breakups are life lessons of what not the hell to do.
Yeah. Were you the one who broke up, or were you broken up with? It seems like most people are one way or the other. It's usually not a back and forth thing.
I would say, like my ex-husband, I broke it off with him. I told him I didn't want to be trailer park trash all my life. I got to go. Yeah. So that's all he wanted to do was living squalor. And I said, I ain't doing that, and left. I was gone. Now I got it right. But then I've been broke up with too, because, you know, being a mom of three kids, you know, guys want to get in there. Once they get it, they gone.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course. You know what I'm saying?
I'm being honest.
She's got three kids. Yeah, I'm only banging the shit out of her. Then we get the fuck out of there.
Yeah. Not that's cool. Okay. That was all right.
Oh, you cried. Yeah. No complaints. No complaints on your end. You're like,
no,
I didn't want you anyway.
Yeah. I got mine too. I walked away a free woman. I was okay with that.
Right.
Right. How about you, Corey?
There's a way to be a whore about it and a way not to be a whore about it. I wasn't a whore about it.
Right. All right. Speaking of whores, you guys want to talk about my exes?
Yeah, let's talk about your whore exes.
Oh, let's hear all about it. Give us the dirt. Well,
I talk about my past relationships a lot in my stand-up and stuff. So I don't know. But, you know, I don't know, man. I got baby mama drama still. You know, my daughter's only 5. We broke up like 3 years ago, and it's just stuff I deal with on a daily basis. And nobody wants to see me not succeed more than.
Oh, really?
I mean, it is what it is. I can fucking talk about it. It's my life. And, you know, now with my new girl, like, it's, I'm noticing things are getting worse on that end. So it is what it is, man. So, yeah, you want to talk about bad breakups? I'm still going through it, man.
Oh, it's got to be tough when you had a child with somebody and then after. It's definitely makes it harder. I can only imagine. I know. I was never a good breaker-upper. I would always mess around until I got caught or something, and then I'd be broken up with. Like, I was the guy who showed up to school with a hickey on my neck trying to hide it with the collar, you know? And then, you know, I was never good at breaking up. I was never good at being able to, you know. I mean,
well, things were different in. Things were different in 1965, right?
Yeah, exactly. And that's all we have time for Corey, everybody. Thanks for joining. I'm not that old, you fuck. I am, but I you know, I, yeah, I mean, I was like, I was always like, you know, because I had three older brothers. So when it came to women, I was always a conqueror. You know, I had to be the conqueror. I had to. Yeah, you know, one of my brothers lost his virginity at a certain age. I had to beat it. You know what I mean? I could not be that the failure, and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I was always that. I would always get caught, or I had overlaps. I didn't break up, and then I was not. I haven't been single since middle school. Okay, that's the worst part. I don't know what it's like to be by myself. I had girlfriend overlap, but I was never a good breaker upper. Never a good breaker upper. But my one girlfriend. May she rest in peace. I had nothing to do with it. She was crazy. Like when I met my wife, she was fucked up. She keyed my car. She bent my wife's, like windshield wipers. We came out of the apartment one time. My wife's windshield wipers were all fucked up. I mean, you know what I mean? Just crazy shit.
Hmm.
So I had a woman break up with me once on Valentine's Day, which was kind of mean.
It's funny that you said you're a bad breaker upper. It just means you're kind of an asshole.
Yeah,
and yeah, I've met guys like that. They have like a fork sticking in the side of their neck. They're like, I don't know what I did, man. It's like, dude.
Oh, I know what I did. I know what I did. Sometimes they leave signs out so they'd find out. Yeah. You know, just to say, it's crazy. All right, this was an interesting thing that occurred after the Super Bowl win by the LA Rams. Their quarterback Matthew Stafford, they're having a little party at the stadium for the LA, and there was a photographer who was taking photos, and she ends up falling 10 feet. Now we got a, can we play that video that's there? He's sitting there with a glass of water or something drinking, and the woman's taking a photo, and all of a sudden she disappears. She just slides down. And so she just falls. And Matthew Stafford, most people, if you see a person fall 10 feet, like you're like, oh, fuck, you know, what the fuck? He was like, oh, get out of here. He fucking turned around and walked away. And his wife was like, what about this fucking chick? Just fell 10 feet. That was taking your, he didn't give a shit, man.
Yeah.
And did you guys see, I wish, I thought we were going to have it, but you guys didn't see that video? Did you seen that, Corey?
I watched it. Yeah. I don't know. He looks like a real douche. He literally was like, oh, and then just turns around and walks away. It's, I don't know. He's definitely a douche. Does he have kids? Do you know if
he has
kids?
Question. That's a good question.
Because
he doesn't seem like for people he doesn't have compassion for somebody who would, right?
Exactly. So yeah, for people that don't have kids, they don't always react to shit like that in the same way, I guess. But he definitely looks like a douche. But not to, like, you know, give him an excuse, but you know, he had just won the Super Bowl, and there's tons of reporters. He's kind of, it's kind of, you know, it's like being at the prom or something, right? Where something crazy happens, you just don't want to be a part of it. It's like, I'm just trying to do this thing. So I get that too, but yeah, he looked like a huge douche.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Fracture
your spine.
Like, the LA Rams are paying for her medical bills and stuff. And good. But you're right. I think you're right. He just saw what happened. He goes, oh, fuck, let's move over here. I don't want to be part of this shit. You know, he didn't want to be part of the drama, you know. I mean, me, he looked guilty, like he pushed her, you know. He fucking, no more pictures, bitch, you know.
No,
but that wasn't it. What are you going to do? Anyway, it's time for the news is a joke, everybody. This is where we bring up stories from around the world. We read the headlines and, of course, if we have to, the stories themselves. And as comedians, it's our job to make fun of these stories. Quicks, jokes, commentary, whatever you want to do. Now, I don't know how funny this story is, but I just laughed because once I started reading it, it was kind of funny. Sorry, it was the wrong one there. All right. A former Louisiana teacher admits feeding her students sperm-laced cupcakes. This is a bleach flavor. A former Louisiana middle school teacher has been sentenced to 40 years behind bars after admitting she fed students cupcakes laced with the sperm of her ex-husband. And he's an ex-sheriff lieutenant.
What was a supermarket out of frosting?
It looks like frosting. Cynthia Perkins, 36, was sentenced Friday to 40 years of hard labor. Jesus Christ. Just for putting cum in a cupcake? Although I guess what happened
was... Well, at least she don't have to worry about the hard labor since, you know, she gave it away. I mean, she don't have to worry about getting pregnant. Yeah, look at it. Yeah. No labor for her. The kids ate the babies.
Right. Why aren't we talking about all the hard labor that put into making those cupcakes, you know? That was hard for her.
Yeah, that guy had to come up with the frosting, as you say. Right. Her ex-husband was the one. And I guess he had taken photos of this youngster and he had sex with a youngster and all kinds of stuff. But yeah, he was an ex-SWAT member. So I guess he was just bored, you know.
You want us to make jokes about that?
Yeah. You got to be
that's
professional
a tough
here,
one.
Man. Yeah.
Well, the sperm one's good. I can do, but the other?
Yeah, man.
What isn't funny about cum lace cupcakes? That's right.
Did they say why?
Great story. What's that?
Did they say why?
No, like, they just did that. She was a teacher. She brought students back. He was banging a young student and took photos. And they had pornography.
No!
They're a freaky couple.
No.
Yeah. This is a different story. A married couple living in separate New York City apartments say it's done wonders for their relationship. Yeah, because now I could bang my girlfriend without my wife knowing. This is a story about a couple. They got married because they're from, I guess she said her Asian, Northeastern, South Asian background. They got married. Things were a little boring. So they ended up deciding to get separate apartments. And now they date two or three times a week. And she's all excited because now it's date night, and so she says it helps the relationship that they live apart. I'm at the point where I may sleep in another room, an extra, because I snore. My wife's getting pissed sometimes, so sometimes I may sleep in the other room just so she can get a night's sleep. And I got to tell you, it's fucking nice to have your own bed. I mean, you know, I don't know about you guys. I'm not a cuddler. Are you guys cuddlers with your mates? Do you guys hold each other and shit?
Oh, dude, I'm on it. I am in there. Like,
yeah.
And I want to be the little spoon too, bro. Spoon really? Me. Yeah, no, I'm all about it. Let's do this.
That's amazing. Now, my wife and I are like, we're at the opposite ends of the bed. Like I roll to the right. She rolls to the left. You know, you can land a plane in between us. I'm not I wake up, I'll go over and say hi, kiss, you know, but in the middle of the night, get the fuck away from me.
That's our doggy split between me and my husband. We got two dogs right in the middle of us.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. My my old dog used to be like that. The dog that passed away, my little boy Player, I called him the cock blocker because every time we get in the bed, he'd jump in the bed and we couldn't, you know, he can't make love with that dog around. You know,
that's what my husband says. He said Roscoe's a cock blocker. He said, "You bastard cock blocking son of a bitch."
My daughter will wake up in the middle of the night and sneak into my room and get in between us. And so I think I'm cuddling. I'm not. I'm cuddling with my daughter.
I know
that sounded bad. It's ridiculous. You want to edit that out, bro? Yeah.
We get it. You know, but listen, it's your daughter. You can love your daughter. Like, who was it? Was it Tom Brady who was getting shit years ago because he kissed his son on the lips? And people are like, why is he kissing his son on the lips? This is his fucking son, man. You know what I mean? It's his boy. Why wouldn't he kiss? You know what I mean? I mean,
I have three daughters, and my oldest daughter, we hold hands walking. Even now, we hold hands walking.
Well, would you kiss your daughters on the lips?
Sure. I mean, just a quick.
Right.
But I mean, I wouldn't do a stranger that way. But my child, my
I don't know. It sounds like you have, though.
No.
Start talking.
For enough money, $20 is $20, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, really. If you want to pay to see it, I'll show you.
I'll do it.
So you're saying, Corey, if you had a son, you would never kiss him on the lips?
Nah, man. Nah.
Yeah. He's a man. You want to make him sure.
Well, it sets the wrong precedence. It's, you know.
Well, some people say it's a bit homophobic. Like, you know, you want at least to have your son. Hey, I'm your dad. I can kiss you on the lips. You're my son. You know, I'm not your school teacher. You know, I'm not your Olympic.
Now, I wouldn't kiss my son on the lips. You know, no? I kiss my son on the cheek. No,
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't kiss my mom on the lips.
Yeah. Mm-mm. I do. I kiss your mom on the lips all the time.
Just trying. Don't you laugh so hard at that, Shelly? Okay, you're next. All right.
I'm ready for it. I know how it is. I'm ready. I've been sitting here prepared for anything.
That's great. Well, here's an interesting story, by the way. This is another husband story, but husband slammed for upgrading to a business class on flight and leaving his wife in economy. So this guy goes to the gate. And she says, "Oh, I could bump your seat up for first class for like $20, good deal, whatever." And the guy says, "Well, fuck yeah." He forgets that he's traveling with his wife. Now, if I would have had the deal. I mean, me personally, if I would have had the deal and said, I would have said that, I would have looked at my, I would have told my wife, "Hey, we can get one seat in first class. So, you want to take it? You want me to take it? Or you want neither one of us to take it?" What do you think about that, Shelly? What would you do if your husband came back and said, "I'm sitting in first class. I'll see you after the 12-hour flight's over."
Well, it's according to the situation. I mean, if I was offered it and I didn't, you know, and I was like, "Screw it. I'm here. I'm comfortable. I'm good. Go ahead and take it." I wouldn't care. But if he just said, "Bitch, you ain't taking this seat," which he would never call me that to begin with. He know better. I'd be like, "We got a problem because ain't nobody going to have that seat now." But my husband, he would literally be like, "Nah, she can't have it. I don't want it. You know, can't have it. I'm not going to take it." So, but I mean, who knows? They may have got into an argument or maybe he just didn't like the bitch. Who knows?
Well, he basically said that it was a 12-hour flight. We were going to sleep. It was a late flight, like a red eye. So he was like, "We're going to be sleeping that time." So it's not like I think it was one time my wife and I were on a flight where we didn't have the same seats. I'm like, "Let's see if we could have our seats together." She's like, "Don't worry about it." I'm like, "Yeah, you're right. I don't give a shit."
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But then I got mad because I sat next to two fat guys and I'm like, "See, I wish my wife was sitting next to me. So I had some fucking room." So I got mad.
Or maybe they could have took turns sharing the first class.
Right. I mean, why not? Right. Now, that would have been a good idea. Hey, yeah. You sleep in there for 6 hours. I'll come get you. So it would have been a dick move if she came to switch and he's like, get the fuck back there, bitch.
Yeah, right. But see, that's in the news. They don't tell you the whole story. They tell you what starts the shit, you know, it's what starts the bullshit.
Yeah. Right. Well, most people are calling the guy a creep for doing it. And, you know, I don't know. I think
I would never. It wouldn't even cross my mind who would get that seat. Like, 100% would go to my girl. You know what I mean? It's like, well, that's why I said earlier that, you know, I'll make my girl's eyes roll or something, or like I'll try to like say like bug her or something, but I do the other shit. You know what I mean? You gotta earn your spot, man. You gotta earn your spot. You gotta treat them. You know what I mean? The same thing with raising a little girl. It's like, just, you know, they just get the world, but then, you know, I don't know.
I hear you. So it's like in business, they say sales cover multiple of sins. So if you do a lot of nice things for them, you know, you do a lot of nice things, sometimes a little bit of nastiness, a little bit of, I don't say cruelty, but you know, sometimes it's understood because you have other stuff to kind of balance the scales. I gotcha. Now, what would you do if you gave your wife the first class seat and you go up there and she's sitting next to Pete Davidson?
Pete Davidson is the anomaly. That there's nobody else you could have said. That's probably the only person I'd have a problem with. How did you say the one person that would make me say? You could have said anyone. You could have said David Beckham or Brad Pitt, and I would be like, man. But Pete Davidson, bro, come on.
You know, he's going to be banging her before the end of the flight. He's going to be banging your wife. He's going to be banging your girl.
Listen, Pete Davidson. Chuck Norris takes tips from Pete Davidson, okay? Pete Davidson taught Chuck Norris how to fight, all right?
I don't know who he is.
You don't know who Pete Davidson is? On Saturday Night Live, he's with Khloe Kardashian, or one of the Kardashians, the main one now. But he was with Ariana Grande. He's been with like 10 hot fucking chicks, and he looks like somebody you see in a haunted mansion. He's a funny fucking dude. I remember I actually met him years ago in New York before he made it big. And he was like 18 at the time. I said, this kid's fucking funny as hell at the Broadway Comedy Club when I was there one time. But this guy's just banging everything. It's amazing. So if it was Pete Davidson, you'd say, bitch, give me my seat back. I'm going to sit next to this whoremonger.
I'd sit next to him. Yeah, I would want to sit next to him. And then me and Pete would probably end up banging, you know.
Yeah,
he's just unstoppable.
That's okay, because as a comic, who wouldn't my wife would be like that. My wife would be like, oh, that you're the comic, I gotta have my, and Pete were like, no, baby, and like, no, I get my, and I'd go over there, and next thing you know, I'd have to tell my wife, honey, I fucked Pete Davidson. Who wouldn't? I understand why all these women do it now. He's got that big dick energy. Speaking of big dick energy, police say a teen delivery boy coerced into sex acts in Miami Beach apartment. Now, you probably can't know if you can tell by this, but here's a guy who delivers some pizza to this woman, supposedly a woman. Turns out that she's transgender, and she's doing whippets when the pizza guy gets there. And I guess he partaked in some drugs with her and probably didn't realize. He's a young lad, so he probably didn't realize that she probably had balls. And then they get a little high and they have some sex acts. And then he must have realized it, because when he got home, he told his mom. Now, I never went home and told my mom I had sex with anybody. It's like I went home, mom, guess what I just did? I think he only told his mom because she was trans and he probably was embarrassed. He didn't know what the fuck to do. The police go back and arrest her. She's like 30-something years old, 40 years old, and she's banging the delivery boy.
How old is he?
17.
Oh, that's underage.
Yeah. 17-year-old called his mother to tell her the details of what happened when she said a woman lured him into an apartment on Miami Beach. And she lured him. She said, you want to come in and get high? He says, yeah. Okay.
Victim. Such a victim.
I delivered pizza when I was in college, and that happened to me once. a woman, a real woman, not a trans. And
right.
Yeah, came to the door and the old lingerie and everything. And I was like, wow. And I even said that. I go, wow. And like, oh, you like? And she turned around and everything. She goes, oh, you want a slice? I go, yeah, of course I want a slice. Well, the pizza too. And I got in a lot of trouble. I got a lot of trouble because I showed up an hour later back at the pizzeria.
Oh, wow.
And boy, that was nice. And I had a girlfriend at the time too. So go figure.
But you were young, right?
Yes. Yes. Young, dumb, and full of cum.
You got to take that opportunity. Yeah.
Right? That's, when you're young, it doesn't matter. You're not going to pass that shit up.
Every time. Yep. I've been missing out on those opportunities for over 10 years now.
What was the craziest thing you did when you were young, Corey?
With sex?
Anything.
Or just the craziest thing overall?
Yeah, anything.
Well, I got suspended, and I think about this sometimes because now I do stand-up comedy. I got on the intercom at high school, and I got suspended for going on there. Like, I had already got sent. I got sent to the office, and then, like, the office lady got up and went to the bathroom, and I got on the school intercom and just started fucking around. And so then I got suspended. And I'm like, oh, man, that's the first time I did stand-up comedy.
Yeah, your first appearance.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
Shelly,
that's pretty crazy.
What have you done? I imagine you got a long list of crazy shit, too.
I was good growing up.
Oh, yeah? And then you got out of the house and became mischievous.
I did.
she covered up when she said that. She's like, I was good. Like,
I was good. I was, honey, my mama raised a good girl. I was not like that.
Yeah.
I think you've had some fun over the years.
Little bit.
Our last story, by the way, is cross-country skiing. Finn Remy suffers frozen penis in mass start of race.
What?
This is a cross-country skier. A lot of skiers during the Olympics were complaining that it was so cold in China.
In China.
But he got frostbite on his dick. I mean, if you're a cross-country skier, you think you'd be wearing some thermal underwear. You know, you don't think you'd be skiing with your zipper down. I don't know how your dick, like, you know, I mean, those outfits they wear, they're thermal, you know. But he spent just under an hour and 16 minutes traversing the course, howling, freezing winds, leading to his penis becoming frozen for the second time in a cross-country skiing race. Second time. Boy, his dick must not like him. It's like, can you give me a fucking coat or something, you asshole?
In other news, the skier's girlfriend was very happy that night.
No, she wasn't. He had a little dick.
Oh, I'm thinking it's like frozen solid, man.
No,
that thing was up in his belly button.
Yeah.
All right, I went for the joke. Okay, don't pick it apart.
That's just big dick energy right there. You know, if Corey's dick got frozen, it would be frozen in its natural state. You know, it'd be like a petrified fucking log that they find under some hidden community under the ocean. What do you do with a frozen dick? Do you get the hair dryer and
right?
You know,
yeah.
I mean, if it's really frostbitten, it gets. I mean, honestly. Have you ever seen somebody that, like those skiers that have climbed Mount Everest, how their hands are black from?
Yeah.
Is that what happened to his dick?
Right. So, also, now the skier is also very happy because not only did his girlfriend have to warm it up with her mouth, but now he has a black penis.
Yes, and it's bigger than it's ever been. It's got shitty credit, and it can dance and jump. Organizers worry about frostbite during the. They worried people were going to get frostbite. It was so cold. Thin suits and underlayers worn by racers, as well as plasters to cover their faces. Yeah, a little protection. Well, I don't know about that. I mean, you definitely need to get some thermal underwear. I'm living up here. I'm getting used to the cold. We had a big snow up here, as Shelly knows. We had a big snow a few weeks ago. It was a big enough snow where my mother-in-law didn't want to move up here anymore. Thank God the snow. And yeah, it was amazing. But it's different. I mean, we left Florida because it was too many months of just sweating, like so fucking hot. But I told my wife now, I'm like, okay, we traded being too hot for several months to being cold for a few months. Like, this is cool. Like, it's in the 50s, 40s, you know what I mean? But I don't know. I don't know if I'm getting used to being cold all the fucking time.
It'll warm up soon. Don't worry. It'll warm up soon.
As long as my dick doesn't freeze.
Right. I don't know. It could be the best thing for you, baby.
But wouldn't you think that the Olympics would have somebody there to go, look, it's cold enough to freeze your dick out here. We need to put some extra shit around your dick out here.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, wouldn't you want to sue the people that was responsible for keeping every part of your body warm?
Yeah. If only we could find something.
So you're saying the Olympics needed a fluffer, like a warmer fluffer.
They need a fluffer. They need somebody to fluff it up and make sure it's wrapped up. They need a little crocheted hat for it. Right. A little crocheted hat for it. They're like, here, I made this for you. Roll it on. Roll it on. Right. It's a little rubber wind jacket.
Yeah. It's an elongated ski cap.
Yeah, it's like a little dick sock.
You just roll it down,
dick sock. And the guy from My Pillow. Now my dick sock, it'll be the best dick sock you've ever owned. Oh my God, I was going to talk about it. Like
watching,
that show. I mean, I was watching the news last night because what's going to happen with Ukraine and everything, and I started saying, God, this fucking poor guy, Mike Lindell. He gets on his commercials now, and he's like, thanks to cancel culture, My Pillow is not being sold in stores. People are stealing. Even China is trying to steal My Pillow. Bitch, no one's stealing that fucking pillow. It's a piece of shit, that pillow. Anyway. It is.
I don't know about this.
Yeah, everybody I've ever talked to that bought the pillow said it's horrible. So
The reason it's my pillow is because you don't want nobody else to own that shit. That's why it's your pillow.
you keep it, bitch.
And now he's making mattress covers too with this shit.
He's got slippers. He's got fucking slippers now. I guarantee you these will be the best slippers you ever own. Yeah. Well, there you go. Well, everybody, that's all the time we have here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie show.
Oh, like man.
Shelly and Corey for joining us today on the show.
That's all.
I know, right? Thank you, Dougie.
Good to have you guys. And let's share. So what's coming up, Shelly? Anything coming up you want to plug out here?
Yes. I'm going to be in Somerville, South Carolina, the 26th of April. 26th of March. I'll have two shows, an early show and a late show. You can actually go onto my website real easy, shellybellycomedy.com, and you can just go there and get tickets to wherever I'm going to be, and I'll be posting more shows here soon.
Very good. Corey?
If you go to my company's Intrepid Events, I got a bunch of stuff coming up in South Florida right here on this Thursday, the 24th. Oh, tomorrow, I guess, right? At the OG Del Rey, it's going to be the first night. We're trying a brand new venue. It's a gorgeous spot with outdoor and indoor seating. And but then Fat Fish Blue in Orlando, producing a show with me and Hennessy Williams. We're calling it the Poor Decisions Showcase, Comedy Showcase. Really excited for that. That's on March 11th in Orlando at Fat Fish Blue, right next to the Orlando Improv. So. Yeah,
well, that's the room that's in the Orlando Improv, and that little where they do their open mics. Yeah, it's a good stage, nice room.
Cool,
very cool. Man. By the way, this Friday I'll be at the I forgot the name of it. I think it's sold out, though. It doesn't matter. The distillery,
Palmetto Distillery in Anderson, South Carolina.
Thank you very much. It's sold out already. For Saturday, I'm going to be in Rockingham, North Carolina, headlining the Double Visions Club out there. So go there. And I'll be in Florida March 23rd at Tavolino's, our first show back after COVID, with myself, Bear Webb is our feature, and Steve Marshall will be headlining the show. Go to DougAlmeida.com for more dates. Aside from that, thanks for being on the show, you too. Shelly, I'll be seeing you. I don't know if you'll be at the open mic this Thursday, but I'll be there at the Greenville Comedy Zone as well. Corey, I'll see you in a few weeks in March.
Yeah, man. And March 18th. We can't plug our show.
That's right. Go ahead. March 18th. If you're in West Palm Beach,
Grandview Public Market, Dougie Almeida is going to close out the show. It's a gorgeous outdoor venue with $20 all you can drinks all night, bottomless drinks. It's a kick-ass time. It's a fucking party.
There you go. Can't wait.
Yeah, man.
Fucking all you can drink. Well, yeah, thanks, man, for joining us, guys. And for the rest of us here at the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back next week with an all-new show. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Wake Up Dougie and on Instagram at the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. And, of course, go to our fan page on Facebook at the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Like us and, of course, subscribe to our YouTube channel. We'd love you to do that so we can start having our own name on there. We'd love to have our own name. So make sure you follow us and subscribe to YouTube and follow us on our fan page. Thank you, everybody. God bless. And if somebody offers you the first class seat, give it to your wife. Don't be a jerk. Take care.